Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Fightin' Words on the Fightin' Words News Network. Fightin' Words is brought to you each and every night of the week. In grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women Police and Fire Services, the people on the first line, the first responders, the hospital doctors, doctors, nurses, and auxiliaries that are out there trying to keep us healthy. And, of course, Bob's favorite, the people in the supermarkets that kept him fat and happy during the pandemic. Appreciate each and every one. Yes. As a PSA that we've been asked to make, please, when you're out in large crowds, please wear a mask. This virus seems to be going at a rapid pace, and they would like us to, they ask us if we just plead with everybody, please, if you're going to be in a large crowd, use your distance, and please use your mask. Well, we got a full staff tonight. We're great, glad to have our cinematographer with us, Ty, our newest member of our clan that we hope will join us often, Dr. Lance. We got Motorcycle Bob is out on the trail going to his he's making his annual homage to Sturgridge.
My God!
Hopefully he gets there this year. And then we got
oh, that's right.
Just back from his long time in the mountains. We got Tony Hedricks on here with us also. So let's get right into it with Bob. I know you've been you got what 3 weeks you've got stored up of stuff.
Oh yeah, lots of stuff. And I apologize if I drop signal. I cutting across country, and for any of our listeners that doubt that we will one day colonize Mars, I recommend going US 160 through Arizona, and you will see how resilient the people are. Because we, man, this looks like Mars out here. It's all red and desolate. And, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, anywho, heading to Sturgis. Yeah, it's amazing. I see in the parts of the country, I get these wild hares. I'm heading towards that Four Corners spot right now where they, for
awesome.
Years they say you stand in four states at once up until we had GPS. They realized that the location was a few miles to the east. So all those people that got pictures there just were lied to, you know. I love science. It's so factual until it changes. But, yeah, so we got 3 weeks of fights. We got tonight coming up. We got Bellator 263.
Wow.
PCO versus AJ McKee. A little bit of rough talk there, smash talk there. McKee, you know, he's got some haters out there. So he's talking about letting his hands show up for himself tonight. The runner-up. Co-main event, Emmanuel Sanchez, I re-nicknamed him, Emmanuel Dirty Sanchez versus Mads Burnwell.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a good fight. And then I think it's Khabib's cousin, am I correct, Ty? Usman.
Yes,
yeah. So, and he'll be going against Manny Pearl. So, that'll be Bellator 263 tonight. That'll be fantastic. Or, no, that's not tonight, but.
Yeah, that's tonight.
Oh, is it? Yeah, sorry, I'm on the road.
Yes,
I've been on the road for a day or two, so.
Oh, my God, yeah, you're in time. Blur differential.
Yeah, I'm not sure what time it is. You know, my alarm went off like an hour or two ago, and, you know, I don't even know where I'm at. Yeah, we got lots of stuff coming up, you know, and then, you know, 3 weeks ago, if anybody didn't see our big favorite boy, Connor, I broke my legger.
That's right.
He's doing well. He's got his new Ferrari yacht or whatever it is, just flaunting his millions. But he's taking it too far. He's putting down, Khabib's dad, that passed
dad,
away,
yeah.
He's talking stuff about, people's lives. I mean, Connor's kind of gone off the ruckus, and this trash talking thing has gotten too far out of hand. But, that set up the, for him and Poirier, that set up the division. So we got Gaethje coming up at UFC 268, finally getting his shot. He's going to go after Chandler. Chandler lost, as we know, to Oliveira, who's sitting on the champ, dang time Gaethje gets a shot, but I think Gaethje was passed over for like the last at least 18 months to get any shots. So,
hey, Bob,
same card
Bob, what do you think?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was going to ask you what you thought about Strickland versus Uriah Hall. That's coming up in October.
No, that's tonight, sir.
Oh, tonight, that's right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the main event tonight on UFC.
Yeah, I was getting sexual.
Summer, yeah, and Uriah Hall is kind of on his way out. You know what I mean? But Uriah still got a shot. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey guys, we're the other one I wanted to ask you, Bob, was Gilbert Burns against Nate Diaz coming up.
That's great that got put together. Nate's coming back, doing his thing. I always go for. After I went through that, we talked about that before, how the the Diaz brothers kind of sold their, you know, we're kind of the first bad boys. We're not really the first, but, you know, they kind of created that craze. And once they kind of said it was part of the show, like, I really liked them. I just, you know, again, you can't, neither one of them gets warmed up to the second or third round, and it's usually cut by then. So it depends on how bad the cut is, you know. So it is
so true.
So true. Vote for him every time. But that, you know, I mean, I know what's going to happen about that guy. You know.
Well, you're always going to see a fight with them. They're always going to give you a scrap.
Yeah.
Lance, do you watch the MMA or UFC?
Yeah, I started a little bit with it, and then I still can't believe, well, they're starting to get money now, but for what they used to do it for, you know, the beating they took, I'm like, man, this is just, it's a lot for a little. So I give them a lot of credit for their heart. And I was laughing. I used to think of McGregor as Muhammad Ali's kind of style to create a lot of ruckus and create a lot of chaos and create his image, but then he went off. He went a little too far, you know. He took the show and went a little out of bounds with it. But for a little while there, I felt like he was just paralleling Ali and just making a name for himself and doing that kind of hack. But it sort of fell apart on him along with his leg.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I like that shot. Hey guys, we're joined. I know Dr. Lance has a short time with us, and we have a friend of his and a friend of his dad's and a friend of ours on the line here. A guy who could stand toe to toe with anybody, and really made a great career out of boxing. Mr. Tex Cobb. Tex, how you doing tonight?
Hey, what's going on, partner?
Not much. We're just waiting to hear the melodic voice of Tex Cobb and his memory of Chris Panarella.
Well, I've got a lot of memories of Chris Panarella. I mean, you got to remember, he was a fight doctor himself. He was a fight doctor at Blue Horizon at Upper Garvey. I mean, he did a lot about. I mean, he wasn't just a dentist. He just, of course, Lance isn't just a dentist either. You know, he got the best left hook of anybody in that business.
That's
course,
right.
Chris Panarello was a special guy that I feel right now. He reminds me of a guy named Willie Nelson in the sense that nobody knows how many people he's helped. Nobody really knows, because that guy has been such a positive influence and such an impact player in lives of people nobody even knows about, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he was that kind of guy. He was the kind of guy that nobody knew how much good he really did and how many people that he really helped.
Right. You know, I've always said about Chris, with guys my age, the 70s and 80s, would remember Will Rogers, and Will Rogers always said, "I never met a man I didn't like." And if you thought about that, that's Chris. I mean, that's today's Tex Cobb.
That's Chris Panarello. That's not Tex Cobb.
That's right.
I have a lot of guys I don't like. You know?
No.
Chris Cobb is accepted, of course.
I was talking about Chris. Chris also had a feeling that you never stood so tall as when you stooped to help a child, and he followed that from the kids on the football team. All the way through their teens and in high school, there's nothing I could say that I could ever find the words to say what a great guy he was. But
words are very clumsy where they aren't effective.
Right.
And in regard to trying to describe Chris Panarella, they aren't effective. They lose a lot. You had to know him. You knew him, you had to laugh. Because he was funny. He had 100 stories about everything. and he fought himself, you know. He was a fight doctor. His boys all fought. I mean, his dog fought. I mean, you know, everything. The whole family fought. I'm telling you right now. And his dog never won. I'll tell you right now. He got a dog that's out of my, you know, my cat. You know, a little bit of dog.
Lance has got a final story on that, but I'm going to let that go.
Yeah, that one's too long for the show, but it's funny. He did.
Hey, Kenny,
you brought up a good one.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Frank.
No, that's okay. Go, Lance.
Oh, yeah, so my brother, when they were coming up in the amateurs, he was fighting for the USA team, and one of the teams couldn't get out of the country. They were supposed to fight Italy, and they couldn't get out of the country. So, and this is true. So they took all the Italian fighters on the USA team and made them act like they were from Team Italy. So my brother comes into the ring to fight, and they took all the Italian names, and everybody's booing them and giving them all kinds of hell because he's fighting against the USA. And he ended up winning. And it was really funny. He's got a boxing shirt that he fought in. And, you know, they just switched it up. And, of course, that was right up my dad's alley. He didn't give a damn about any of that. So he just played the role perfect, you know. They were just waving everybody back like they didn't speak English and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, how does he get into this stuff, you know? But it was far from the worst, man. Yeah, that was a funny one. One of my other favorites, and we were all – so Tex got to take us down to see Willie's ranch, and we got to spend the day with Willie, which you can imagine what kind of an adventure that was. And so Willie's got his golf course, and it's ragged, right? And everybody asked how what it looked like, and everybody said it looks just like Willie. So we get this guy
That's a little harsh, okay? A little harsh.
So we get the match set up, and it's the City Slickers, which was us, against the good old boys. So we play the first hole, and we go out, and we're looking at the yardage marker spray-painted on a tree, and it says it's like 210. And my dad's going, I don't know, man. I don't think it's that far, you know. So, of course, we play at the 210, and we hit the ball like 30 yards over the green. They're laughing at us. So they win the first two holes. We don't know how the hell far the distance is. So,
of all the things to cry about, you can't see the flag. I mean, come on. We're on the same golf course. I don't want to hear about, I couldn't see the – I didn't know how far it was. You couldn't even see the flag, you know? I mean
– Well, between that and the smoke cloud coming out of Willie's car, it was hard to see.
You know, whiny bunch of big city boys. Yeah, I mean – What about Bud Light Larry, who drove a Cadillac onto the green to deliver beer? Now, you got to love that about it. See, that is down-home golf. Okay? That is classic down-home golf.
Yeah.
So we tied it up, right, after the next two holes. All of a sudden, Willie gets a magical phone call. They can't continue the round, and it ends in a tie before we got a chance to take the lead. That was it. They walked off.
Before you got a chance to take the lead, I'm sorry. I thought we were all playing on the same course, okay? So you guys, when did you have a chance? When you put the ball on the tee, white boy. That's when you had the chance to hit the ball. That's when you had the chance to take the lead.
No mods. And they were crying. No mods over there.
Oh, stop! I'm crying over here. I'm dying. Okay.
Hey, Tony. Last week, you missed last week's show. Do you have any questions for Tex on his boxing career?
I missed last week's show, which I heard was fantastic. By the way, I hate that I missed it, but Tex, I was just curious. Are you actually still active? Are you fighting? Or?
Somebody had to fool. I can guarantee you, we're going to come to terms real quick. We'll take no problem at all.
Yeah?
Fine, looking for work. If you're looking for work, I got 3 minutes. Got your name all over to a tough guy.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to go to Oscar De La Hoya first before you get to me. So.
Yeah. Oh, he's already going to be staying the lightweight.
Oscar De La
Hoya. You know why they make weight division? It ain't to protect me. Let me tell you why. And so I don't kill him. She's Ray Lynn and De La Hoya on the same night. Woo!
That's hardcore right there.
I
doubt it.
Tex, you had a lot of barn burners in your time, and the one that stands out in my mind is the Larry Holmes fight, where you went toe to toe for a long time. Can you talk about that fight with us?
Well, actually, the thing you have to remember about the Larry Holmes fight is that, see, and a lot of folks have a different understanding of boxing. You see, I didn't lose the fight. I just lost the first 15 rounds. I ran out of time. Another 20, 25 rounds, that man was mine. I'm telling you, he was very inside waving there at the end, didn't he? You know? I mean, he was a little more shaky there at the end than the first. And I'm just telling you right now, I ran out of time. I had him, you know, and it's over. 45 minutes later, there, you know, snuck out with a win.
One more round, you'd have had it.
Well, okay, maybe another 10, 12 rounds, whatever. I'm just telling you, I ran out of time.
I'm sure that that his hands must have been sore from hitting you so much, so he probably would have given up.
Oddly enough, the next morning, I was down at breakfast. Of course, we're all 18 place. He come down there. He was acting mad. I mean, come up to where I was eating the table and said, you know why I'm here? I got to tell you, you know, I mean, truth be told, you know, my nipples got hurt. I got excited. I'm thinking, whoa, yo, I mean, no ring, no ref, no rules. My stock goes way up, okay? I'm telling you right now, so I'm excited. I'm going to lay back into it. And I'm saying, no, champ, what's the real trouble, buddy? What's happening? What's wrong? Let's do something. And he held up his hands, and they were all puffy and everything like that. He said, I can't drop my head. Well, Jesus, suck you down. You know, my heart bled for him. I just, I don't know, I didn't know what to say. I was crushed. There, his hands hurt. He couldn't cut his head. You know, I'm telling you, it's tough everywhere. I rubbed my face and I said, I understand. I can't chew mine.
Tex, what do you think of some of these the boxers that are out there now, like Vasily Lomachenko, for one, Canelo Alvarez? Is he really the real thing, do you think?
Well, okay, let's look at this in a very scientific way. His name's Alvarez.
Mm-hmm.
Alvarez, you're talking about Alvarez?
No, I'm talking about Canelo Alvarez, yes.
Yeah, well, Alvarez got a Z in his last name, and everybody I ever met with a Z in his last name, the double lift hook, was born with it. They can all fight. I never knew a Mexican that couldn't fight, and so I'm glad they could fight.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I grew up in Texas. I mean, they all fight there. And
great,
you know,
great.
I mean,
yeah.
The truth is, the Mexicans were the reason why that I went into karate instead of boxing. I mean, really and truly. See, every time I fought a Mexican, I fought a dozen of them, and they all box. So I saw that movie Billy Jack where he got to beat up 30 guys with that K-rate stuff. So man, I thought I'd ride me and that K-rate stuff. So I got into martial arts and son of a gun. 20 years later, I come to the inescapable conclusion that number one, Mexicans are the toughest guys alive, and number two, nearly nobody can get crazy stuff work. I mean, you got to be strong. I mean, eventually, yes, four weapons beat two weapons. But the truth is, you got to be really good to make that karate, for karate to beat boxing. You have to be able to fight like a boxer and kick like a Chuck Norris.
Ty, let me ask you something. We got Alvarez all of a sudden has an open date on the 16th of September. Who do you think they're going to bill it with? Bivol or not?
Well, I mean, Bivol was mentioned as the number one guy. So, you know, to get that fight now that negotiations have apparently fallen through with him at Plant. So,
right.
I guess, you know, we're in wait and see. He is his own promotional company. So he can kind of make a deal with anyone. He's, you know, free to do so at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he will circle back around to Caleb Plant. We know he wants that last belt. But right now, it's just a wait and see.
Mm.
Hey, Ty, wasn't there some mention, too, about Triple G fighting him one more time again?
They did mention Triple G as well. And from what I heard, Triple G was asked about the fight, and he said he's ready, willing, and able. He also has a fight scheduled in December in Japan with Murata. They were both going to take some tune-up fights this summer, but they decided not to. Just they didn't want to risk injury, and they were going to go straight to that fight. So I do assume that if Canelo, obviously the bigger deal, the bigger fight, he would forego his Japan, his Japanese date for that Canelo fight. But again, Canelo has kind of stated that he really doesn't want to fight Triple G again. You know, he despises him, and I don't think he wants to offer him that payday. So it'll be interesting to see. I think within the next couple of weeks we'll know, because for Canelo to keep that date, which he wants to, you know, he hasn't fought on that date in the last 2 years or so, and that's that whole Mexican Independence Day weekend. So for him to keep that date, he's going to have to pull in somebody very soon. So it's going to be interesting. We should find something out as to who his opponent will be or whether he'll forego that date within this next week or two.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Hey, guys, we're joined by the big dog, Benny Henderson. How you doing, Benny?
Big dog.
That's good. What's up? Hey, I got something to say to Tex Cobb. I got nothing but respect for you, sir. You have fought a lot of great guys. You never fought the undefeated heavyweight champion. I challenge you not to a fight.
You gonna challenge me
to a hot dog eating contest? Not a fist fight.
Okay.
Well, we'll get beat up by Tex Cobb. Listen, I get beat up by my wife. I don't need you beat me up. Hey, listen, Tex Cobb.
That's coming to work, John. I'll tell you right now.
Tex Cobb is right, man. I grew up in Texas, in West Texas, in Odessa. And at 17 years old, I was stabbed 4 times by a Hispanic dude, right? And, no, I'm being serious. They tried to murder me, and I lived because I'm that badass. But listen, afterwards, man, I'm sitting here talking to my other Mexican friend. I'm like, man, well, what is it all about? He goes, Benny, you mess with the beans, you get the whole burrito. So, like, dude.
Poet. Obviously, the man was obviously a poet. You know, I'm telling you,
That's a true story, man. I'm not lying about that, but I'm serious. I just I got beat up a lot, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna be tough like Tex. And I watched him lay homicide. I said,
oh,
cool.
Oh, yeah.
No, I want to say something. I'm not going to stay on very long, but I want to say something. Tex Cobb is one of the toughest SOBs I've ever known. This is a guy, okay, who fought Larry Holmes. And we know the outcome. We know the outcome. But afterwards, he called Larry Holmes the B word and the N word and got away with it. That's how tough that dude is. No, listen, I don't want to hit that dude. No, I'm not being mean. I'm just being serious.
That's because B N R S V P words, none of those words mean nothing to guys who are going to fight. See, you got to understand. You can really fight. What you say don't mean nothing. What you going to do, boy? And that was a real revelation to me when I first came to Philadelphia, because I thought words were really important and stuff like that. And I come to Philadelphia, come to the gym in North Philly, and I started trying to talk about that. And they said, no, what you going to do, boy? Well, no, what you, no, what you going to do, boy? Well, you see what I meant to say? No, what you going to do, boy? So shine what I say, what's it going to do? And that's what means something in boxing. Everybody jaw-jacking, that's the easy part. Anybody talks trash, that don't hurt nothing. And that's easy to do. But what are you going to do when that leather starts slinging, you know? And that's what means something.
Hey, Ty, I got a question to ask you.
No.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right,
yes,
listen,
sir.
Ty. And I'm not being racist, but, you know, black people supposed to have soul, right? Can sing and all that stuff, correct?
Well, that's what they say, but I've never known myself to have any of that stuff, so go ahead.
Okay. one of my best friends, Layman Brewster, you know who he is, former heavyweight champion, Layman Brewster. I love that dude. He's my best friend. He called me one day and sang to me. I said, brother, are you white? I said, do not tell Layman I said that because he will beat me up. But Layman cannot sing for nothing. That's it. And Layman likes country music. I'm like, you're just doing the whole misconcept. That's bullcrap. Layman likes George Strait. Layman likes George Strait. Me, I like Public Enemy.
Layman Crusher of Stereotypes.
We are crushing the stereotypes.
Ty, do you get
it? Because you know
what? Did you hear what the hell he just said? He was on the air with us for 7.5 years, and now Ole Miss Layman Brewster's his best friend. What the hell happened to us?
Chop liver.
Well, hey, Butch, the problem is we can't whip his ass. Layman can. That's the problem.
you know, getting that makes a difference.
Let me tell you guys something. Layman cannot beat me. He cannot, because I could run for like a little short distance.
a little short distance.
Now, if you run downhill, you can't.
Yeah.
A little short
distance. I will stop, drop, and roll. So,
hey, Ty, what do you think of? I know Daenerys is one of your guys that you follow. What do you think of his last fight here?
Well, you know, he was supposed to fight Casimiro, but
right.
The whole drug test situation. One thing, the reason why I like Donaire is because Donaire is the one world class fighter that we can point to that took year round testing, that volunteered for it and took it. Not WBC Boxing Clean Program, year round drug testing. So this is a guy who's had his biggest wins and losses of his career, a Hall of Fame career, and we know he's clean. That's why I respect Donaire so much. So it'll be interesting if he goes right for the Naya and Inouye fight, the monster.
Right.
Obviously, they had a tremendous fight of the year level fight, so it'd be interesting if he goes for that. But right now, because of the stance he made, I'm really curious to see what comes out of that from that standpoint.
Okay.
Hey, isn't Evander Holyfield's son fighting tonight?
To what?
Is it Evander Holyfield's son's fighting tonight, correct?
Yeah, he's doing an exhibition.
Okay. Hey, let's talk about the Chubb.
No,
let's talk about
Evan is his son. Exactly. Evan is. But he's
Evan.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about being tough. Let's talk about being tough. Seriously. All right.
Try to get me involved.
Put your wife.
Do y'all notice Jake Paul is calling everybody out, but he has not called up. He has not called up Tex Cobb not once.
Oh, no. Hey, Benny, don't get that kid hurt.
He has not caught out Tex Cobb once, or me.
Right.
I'm just saying. You know, I had a guy tell me one time, he goes, you know, you're fat, I'll punch you in the face. I said, go ahead. I'll fall on your ankle.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey Lance, we gotta fight tonight.
I gotta get out of here. We're doing my son's birthday, but happy birthday to my son Trey, 24
yeah,
years
happy
old.
Happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to him. Happy birthday.
Thank you guys so much. I cannot believe 24 years ago and 9 months ago I was making love to his mom, and I think that was the last time we did it. But
did she wake up?
And we've had a kid since that. So that's how good my sperm is. It's that good. 4 years later, we have another kid just doing it once. So
residual sperm. He's got residual swimmers.
Yeah, and she come out looking like that. I don't know what that's all about, but I'm just saying.
Oh.
Hey guys, listen, I love you guys. Thank you so much. Let me come on again.
Love you, man. Thanks for coming on, bro. Always.
No, hey, listen, you guys are not chopped liver, man. Y'all are more like, you know, like I actually like liver, fried liver. It's awesome. So
more like spam.
And,
man, who's
spam too? Fried spam is awesome. Hey, but before I get out of here, I gotta ask Tex, do me a favor. I want to hear Tex tell me, boy, you just opened up a can of whoop ass. One time, Tex, one time.
You just bought the whole can of whoop ass.
There it is.
There it is, man.
I'll tell you something about that line. They didn't like that. I forget what the real line was in the movie, but when it came time to say it, I said what I said. And they said, "That's great. That's great. Who wrote that?" And I just said that because I used to hear that a lot.
Hey, you guys hang in there, man. Y'all keep fighting and keep fighting words going and I'm going to come back in here and finish this birthday party and get drunk and pass out.
Oh, there you go.
Happy birthday to the man.
Yep.
Ah, man, we love you guys, man. Thank you so much, man. Tex, you're a hero.
Happy birthday. Keep your hands up. All the best, buddy.
That's
all right, y'all be good.
Hey, Lance, what do you think? Eddie Hearn says that Teofimo Lopez, his next fight's going to be Devin Haney. Do you think that's a good fight?
I don't know enough about him to say, so I'm going to have to bow out on that one. I got one last tech story to finish with, and then I got to run. I'll leave you with a quick laugh because the amazing Texas perception was a little off this day, so I'm going to preface the story with that. So we're sparring. I'm training for a tough man, and we do four round sets, and we took a break in between. Well, I made the mistake of giving him a little bit of a black eye, and we had four rounds to go. So I was praying he wouldn't see it because we used to go to the gym in Upper Darby at 5 in the morning before I go to work. And all of a sudden I hear him yell. He goes over near the mirror, and he goes, "Get in the ring right now!" And I'm like, "Oh, I know what's coming." I'm looking around, and I'm there all by myself, and I'm like, "Shit, I might die here. No one's ever going to see me again."
There were no way. That's true. There were no way to be anywhere.
Right now.
He proceeded to tune me up. For two straight rounds, I don't think I blocked a punch. So in the middle of it, he goes, "Are you going to block one damn punch?" And I looked at him and I said, "You're one to talk." And that was it.
That's right. Word for word, that's right. Yeah.
Too funny.
And that ended my beating because he laughed for about 5 minutes and I at least got a break.
Oh, that was priceless. I gotta tell you. I mean, you listen,
is funny.
It's one thing to be funny on stage and be in front of you. Listen, when you're in that kind of situation, to crack something like that, I mean, you know, you're talking about some focus, all right?
Look, I'm going to get to my dinner and let you guys have some laughs and talk about the sport a little bit. And I thank you again for having me on, and I'll try and catch you every now and again. And I'll get back watching some more fights. You know, I lost my fight partner, so I got to try and find another one to watch him with me. But we'll get there. Thanks again, and you all stay well and have a great weekend.
All the best, Doc.
All the best, brother.
Thank you. Stay well.
Comey, and they're fighting December 11th.
Is that Haney, Devin Haney, and Comey?
No, it's Vasily Lomachenko.
Oh, Lomachenko and Comey. Yeah, I did just read that. You know, Comey's a dangerous guy. He's always been, and he
typically when he had his two title opportunities initially, he really looked like he got shafted in the decision against Shaq Evans and against Robert Easton. But then he fought Teofimo Lopez and got blown out the water. And, you know, Comey is a rugged, typically durable guy, but kind of like Lomachenko's last fight against Nakatani. You know, Nakatani's a rugged, kind of durable guy, but both like Comey, he's limited. Again, Comey's footwork is limited. You know, he's a powerful guy. But Lomachenko, just like he did Nakatani, he really should be able to steer Comey into a stoppage over the course of, you know, several rounds. I think he's going to really take it to Comey. The way he fought Nakatani, he fought like he had a point to prove, you know, and he's a very proud guy. And I think not only, you know, he wasn't happy about the decision that he lost to Teofimo Lopez. He didn't think he deserved to lose that decision. And he just has a chip on his shoulder right now. He's healthy, and he's really kind of firing on all cylinders. He literally took Nakatani apart, and I absolutely expect him to do the same thing to Richard Comey, although Richard Comey is more dangerous than Nakatani.
Mm-hmm. Good. Hey, Tony, what do you think about
that?
Go ahead.
I just wanted to clear up something that just occurred to me. I mean, he's a fifth guy. I'm sorry, I forget the name of the guy we were just talking.
Lomachenko?
Just speaking. And I'm trying to grab my head on. He thinks there's actually a case or situation where a wrong decision, an infamous vote, a possible mistake in the boxing game. I mean, is this what he's talking about? That there is a potential to have a mistake? A bad ruling, a bought and paid for decision. I mean, I'm a little hurt to hear that, you know. I mean, you know, this is America.
Never heard of that before, right? Never heard of that.
Not one time.
Hey, Tony, what do you think? We've got Joe Joyce coming up with Anthony Joshua in early 22. How do you think that's going to end up?
Did you say Joshua and who?
Joe Joyce.
Anthony Joshua, I think. I'd have to go with him on the way he's been training, the way he looks. But particularly against that guy, I think Joshua would pull it off. Anybody else, like these other people he was supposed to fight here this summer or this year, I don't know that he would be able to do it, like with the Gypsy King or something. But.
Okay. Hey, Tex, let me ask you, what's your thoughts on a Arthur Bedivev and Canelo Alvarez fight?
I got to tell you the truth. I'm not as familiar with the fighters nowadays, but just from a limited amount the way I grew up and things like this, I would have to say better than I would have seen his last name. That's a joke,
brother. Stay
with me. Here we go. Come on now.
Pay
attention. It's my
amateur.
It doesn't get any better, okay?
I think Canelo's unstoppable right now.
Yeah? Go ahead.
I don't see anybody stopping him for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, I mean, when you're looking at the stuff on Instagram and all these different trainings that he's doing each day on there. I mean, that boy's hitting harder and harder and doing different types of shots that I haven't seen him do. I don't know who his trainer is. I don't remember the guy's name, but I thought he changed and went with someone else. But
Eddie Reynoso. Eddie Reynoso is Canelo's trainer.
He's just looking more and more impressive every time I see him on there. And I'm not a huge Canelo fan, but I got to give it to him. He's a badass.
Okay. All right. You got anything on that?
If that fight were to be made, first of all, kudos to Canelo, because that right now is the most dangerous fight he can make. Berdabiev is a legit big 175-pounder with bone-crushing power and good cardio and good fundamentals. He's capable of being hit, but he's a guy who fights downhill, and he does it in a technical manner. But he also ramps up the volume and aggression.
Very good at distance
mm-hmm.
management. Very good at placing punches. Very good at touching instead of trying to load up on shots. He's a very, very dangerous fighter. With that being said, kind of like Tony was saying, Canelo's clicking on all cylinders right now. He's 30 years old. He's in his athletic prime. He's just going to be tough to beat. Again, Arthur Beterbiev would be a different beast because he's 175. There's a size differential there. Canelo's very dangerous. He throws, you know, obviously the combination punches, the body punches. But, you know, Beterbiev is one of these Eastern European guys who has that bone density strength. He's kind of like a, you know, a bigger, more fluid, not as technically astute Triple G. So that would be a very dangerous fight for Canelo. I don't. It'd be really tough for me to predict it right now. I'd really have to think about it, maybe even look at some footage. But if Canelo were to go ahead and pick Beterbiev, I mean, kudos to him. That would be easily the most dangerous fight he could have around his weight class right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully,
hey, Tony,
that'll happen.
I said earlier on the line today that I had talked to Keith Thurman earlier this week. I don't know if everybody understands what he's doing, but he isn't getting any fights that he's looking for. So he has been up sparring, getting Spence ready for Pacquiao.
Oh, he's seriously? I thought Spence didn't care for him. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
But you know what? It makes sense because he's fought Pacquiao. So that makes all the sense in the world. But
he's fought.
Yeah, wow.
He and Spence came up together, so they're very close. And that's why he's in that camp.
Well, while you're touching on that, do you think Spence will be able to pull it off against Pacquiao this time for this fight?
I don't think so. But, you know,
you don't think
just like Bobby,
Pacquiao?
I'm a that's my man crush, Pacquiao.
Yeah,
Spence,
go with Spence
is fast.
On this one, though.
Spence is fast with his feet and his hands, but I think that the sly old dog is going to pull out one more, and then I think he'll retire.
You know, honestly,
well,
I think if Pacquiao, I mean, Pacquiao, man, you can never count him out. He's obviously going to go in as an underdog. I like Spence's youth, his length, his size, his energy, his body punching. I see him fighting kind of like he did against Mikey Garcia, keeping it long. I think he's going to be wary of Pac. Pac has a very off-kilter rhythm, and he's explosive. I don't think if Pac cannot hurt Errol Spence or can't land the shots to hurt Errol Spence, and if Errol Spence, if Pac, really what it comes down to is if Pac can't consistently disrupt Errol Spence's rhythm with his jab, and get inside Errol Spence's jab, I just think he's going to lose the decision. He'll be competitive. He'll have moments. But ultimately, Errol Spence will ultimately outwork him, kind of like he did Mikey Garcia, by keeping him at the, you know, at his range at the end of his punches, and just limiting Pacquiao's opportunity to be explosive. That's probably the most common scenario for the fight. Whether that happens or not, I don't know, because Pacquiao is, you know, he's a one in a million athlete. So.
Great.
It's going to be interesting. But he hasn't fought since he fought Keith Thurman 2 years ago. He's 2 years old at 43. So, you know, Errol Spence rightfully will be a favorite, but he's not as big a favorite as a lot of people would have thought.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. We got Paulie Malignaggi's coming back to do some exhibition fights. Do you think that's a good deal, or like Reddick Bowe is coming also on November the 11th?
Yeah,
he's fighting
Lamar Odom, the former basketball player who just knocked out Aaron Carter from I don't know which boy band he used to belong to. Forgive me.
Yeah.
So that's actually Tex. What's your opinion on this celebrity boxing craze?
Well, I think that. Anybody that wants to get in the ring and get hit in the face deserves the opportunity. It's America. And if you're a celebrity, if you're an underdog, if you're a girl that wish you were and never got the chance, I think that anybody should fight. As far as having celebrities that know how to fight, are you out your mind? Who are you kidding? They don't know how to fight. They don't want to be a celebrity. They didn't get where they were by fighting. They were where they were by being a celebrity. And that's great. Mm-hmm. And if you want to see celebrities fight, great. Enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about you want to see some fighting, I'd say go back to that Pacquiao guy, because I'll tell you right now, he's a strong warrior, come to fight and die, and he's one of them kind of guys that even if you don't bet on Pacquiao, I wouldn't bet against him.
Great.
Exactly. Great.
And,
exactly. That's a great way to put
it. I'd have to get out of here, but I thank you guys. I had a great time, and I appreciate you giving me a chance to talk about a man extremely special for me, and Dr. Chris Panarella has been a man that influenced my life and influenced the lives of others, and is a guy that I will remember as long as I breathe there. You guys
great.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, let me tell you something, Tex, before we go. If it's okay with you, I'm going to give Layman Brewster asked for your phone number. If that's okay with you, I'm going to give it to him, and he wants to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate that. Tell you what you do. Let me call you back later, and I'll get his number.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you don't want to be on his hit list.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. Either one.
You better make sure
okay.
he calls you.
Yeah.
Tony, what do you think about tonight's fight with Anthony Durrell?
Anthony Durrell.
Yeah.
I'm getting this one. I'm blanking out on this one. But I think Booker, isn't Booker the favorite on this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know much about Jarrell, but I think Booker will take this one. I don't think it'll last long either.
Okay. Ty?
You know, I didn't know Jarrell was fighting, but last time he fought, he didn't look good. You know, he honestly looked a little past it. And, you know, he's had a long, you know, very solid career. He's won a title. But I think his time is coming past. And when I remember when Durrell got you know, basically steamrolled by Benavidez.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back and had to fight. He just didn't look like the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Benavidez fight was the first time I seen him lose through physicality. He was a guy who was always kind of the more physical presence in the ring. And he's not pulling the trigger like he used to. So even though I didn't know about the fight, I just, you know, if he's fighting a world-class fighter, I don't, you know, I wouldn't favor him at all.
Nah. Yeah.
Hey, Bob, I see Masvidal's making wants to make a comeback. Is that going to happen or not? Hello? Might be on mute. Bob?
Yeah, sorry, guys. I was on mute.
Yeah. Okay.
What was the question there?
Masvidal is making a lot of noise that he's coming back. Is that going to be a possibility or not?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's not – I mean, he's still a contender. He's still a good fighter. You know, he's got tons of talent. You know, lost his last one or whatever. But, again, he's going to top guys. So, yeah, there should be no reason he shouldn't be able to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where he'd be in the rankings, but.
I think he is like sixth or seventh. And here's the thing, right? So Masvidal is basically looking for a fight in December. He's a big name, so he's going to get a lot of, you know, people wanting to fight him. As long as he fights someone if Masvidal gets a win, he could get three wins in a row, right? As long as Usman's the champion, it's going to be a long road before Masvidal will get a shot again. He's lost Usman twice. The last time, his head got detached from his body. So what Masvidal has to be hoping for is that Colby Covington defeats Usman. Because I believe if Colby Covington were to defeat Usman and Masvidal were just to pick up a win, albeit against almost anyone, if he were to pick up a credible win, that fight sells itself because it's a long-running grudge, Mike. The fight should have been happened. And that's a fight a lot of people want to see. And I think that's the fight Masvidal would absolutely target. I know Colby Covington would target. The fans would eat it up. The promotion would be insane. So if Masvidal wins, but Usman's still the champion, he's just got such a long road to go. But if Covington were to get the title, I think off of one win in December, Masvidal could be right back and be the most likely title contender. If not, then it might be Leon Edwards. So, But the bigger fight would always be Masvidal.
I know he's mentioned that his dream fight at this point in time would be Usman, but he's going to have, like you said, he's going to have to work his way back to that one.
Yeah.
I mean, he's lost two fights to Usman, and neither one were competitive for two different reasons. So,
right.
No one's rushing to see that fight again.
Uh-huh. Bob, the other question I had was, why is he calling Leon Edwards a little bitch?
Masvidal?
Masvidal, yeah.
Because that's what you do anymore to get fights, apparently.
Ah.
Simple as that. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah. Plus, remember, he punched Leon Masvidal backstage and kind of virally skyrocketed with the whole two-piece of a soda,
right,
or whatever he said. And Leon Edwards has always been wanting to get him in the cage. And, Masvidal is the A side right now, and so he kind of is calling his shots. But, again, after what happened in two fights with Usman in December, Masvidal's looking to take maybe some of these fights because he knows that, you beat Leon Edwards right now, not only would that be a big fight because you're a little viral beef, but also if Usman is not the champion, you're definitely the number one contender. So, I mean, these guys are smart too. You know what I mean? They just the stuff I'm saying is the stuff they're thinking. He knows that no matter who he beats, if Usman is the champion, he's not getting a shot. But he knows that if Usman loses to Colby Covington, all he needs is a win, and he could easily sell that fight. That'll be the fight people will want to see. So everything he's doing makes sense. This makes perfect business sense.
Okay. Well, guys, we're right up against our time, and we really appreciate everything that everybody's done for preparation. And, Bob, have a safe trip. Will you be back next week?
Mute.
Yep. Okay.
Forget, too, next week we have Bryant Goodfellow Perella that will be joining us on here out of Fort Myers.
That's what I want you to do.
Awesome.
Can you take just a minute to talk about that?
Yes, absolutely. He's the man out of Fort Myers, hell of a boxer. Want to talk to him a little bit about his upcoming fight that he's got here soon, because he's definitely a knockout type guy. I know he got injured in a fight, and then there was another one we're going to talk to him about next week. It was a bizarre outcome at like 1 second from the end of the fight that we'll talk about next week. But Brian Goodfellow Perella, fantastic boxer. Looking forward to having him on next week and chatting with him.
Brian Perella? You said Brian Perella?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, he is a great fighter. Yeah, I like Brian Perella. Awesome.
Goodfellow Perella. He's a fantastic boxer.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, Tony, I'll probably – are you going to be in town this week?
Yes, sir.
Maybe I'll see you at the stop on Monday. I've got early morning cardiology appointment, but if you're going to be around there about 12 o'clock or 11:30, I'll see you over there.
Absolutely, Wings and Weenies, Fruitville Road, Sarasota. People, you got to go there. It's the one stop, and you're definitely dropped. That's for sure. But good food.
That's for sure. Yep. Okay.
Paul,
Tony,
I love
you.
Don't kill me later for that one, but.
That's all right. I'm going to call Paul now and tell him he owes us money for an ad.
Yes, he does, actually. He needs to pay all of us.
Tony, you want to lead us out?
Yes, sir. Great show tonight. Thank you to Text, and the other gentleman, which I didn't catch his name, or I probably have already forgotten it. I apologize. I don't have much of memory. Learned a little bit about sex tonight that I didn't know. I think he was a little bit before my time. So
yeah.
Thank you to Ty, Bob. Was it Dr. Lance?
Yes.
And, of course, you, Frank, for having me on and enjoying you guys, learning and having a great time. Looking forward to the next show.
Good. Ty?
Hey, man, I really enjoyed the show and all our guests and all our co-hosts, man. It was a great show. Hope everyone has a blessed and safe week. Bob is our co-pilot. Coach Mel's watching over us. Dr. Chris keeps us laughing. Everyone enjoy their week.
Is he okay?
Yeah, I think he's training a fighter tonight or something. I'm not sure.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah, I'll see him briefly tomorrow, but I haven't caught up
okay.
with him too much this week. So.
All right. Tell him we were worried about him, and just tell your mom I said hello and Sharon said hello.
I shall.
Absolutely. Give that beautiful little baby of a granddaughter of yours a kiss for us.
Oh, I will.
Say hello to Miss Asia.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of police and fire services, the doctors and nurses at the hospitals, and all the people associated with them, as well as the food industry that kept us alive during the pandemic. These programs are dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty, Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazwitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerber, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Onofbo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogo, Longbow Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Sergeant James O'Connor, Delaware Police Department, Sergeant Rodney Bond, Delaware State Police, Captain Chris Leak, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Flykus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Artith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FDLA Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Boward, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highland County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Sheriff's Department, Officer Bob McKetchin, Biloxi, Kentucky Police Department, Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol, Sergeant Brian Levake, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, and Deputy Mike Malik, Pinellas County Sheriff's Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night. God bless and have a great weekend.
Shema hezahir ma son ashen vorat fet akuig again ma yerma Yeah. fiery blade engaged to lead. He'd break the bravest in the field. Spirit and with mind aflame, saw Hashem's strength and length of days.
All units be advised, 1999's response to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.